Dr. James Battle. And I am Joy Gooch. I'm working with the National Federation of the Blind of Tennessee. Today I'm speaking with Dr. James Battle, dealing with the glaucoma and the glaucoma stents. Thank you, Dr. Battle, for taking the time out to speak with me today.
Thank you for having me.
How long have you worked with the Johnson City Eye Clinic?
I'm coming up on 8 years now.
Okay. How long have you been in practice?
Right out of training, I joined the Johnson City Eye Clinic. So prior to working here, I did an ophthalmology residency after medical school and then a fellowship in glaucoma. And now here back in Johnson City, I'm from Johnson City originally. Glad to be back.
Okay. Now, what is your primary focus of research and practice?
I'm a clinician, so I am purely involved in treatment of patients. Don't really do much bench research or anything like that. Do participate in some studies, larger studies, mostly for just surgical data, but nothing, no bench research. I'm involved in both treatment of patients with glaucoma and comprehensive eye care as well. But glaucoma is a major focus of my practice, in addition to more routine ophthalmologic issues like cataracts, or particularly a lot of cataracts as well.
Can you give a brief description of what glaucoma is and how it affects one's vision?
Absolutely. Glaucoma is what we call an optic neuropathy. It's a disease of the optic nerve, the nerve that carries vision information from the eye back to the brain. It tends to be a very slow disease, doesn't hurt, and usually doesn't affect an individual's vision until very late in the disease. We know that it's one of the leading causes worldwide of irreversible blindness. Fortunately, in the United States, we're pretty good at catching it, and there are a number of things we can do about it. Our treatments for glaucoma are all focused on lowering eye pressure. That right now, that's our only way of treating glaucoma. We know that if we can lower eye pressure, we can slow or halt the progression of the disease. There's research being done into other ways to treat glaucoma, but right now, that's all we've got, is lowering eye pressure. And there are lots of different ways of lowering eye pressure. Usually when somebody is initially diagnosed with glaucoma, we'll start them on eye drops, and there are a variety of different eye drops to help lower pressure. There are also laser procedures, relatively very low-risk laser procedures, that are a good frontline, first-choice treatment for glaucoma and lowering eye pressure. And if those don't do the trick, there are also surgeries we do in the operating room to help lower eye pressure. A particular interest in mine that is actually quite a popular topic in the glaucoma world in the United States right now is a class of surgeries called minimally invasive glaucoma surgeries, or MIGS. These are class of surgeries that are not as risky as some of the classic glaucoma surgeries like a trabeculectomy or a tube shunt. And they usually aren't quite as effective at bringing the pressure down, but still pretty good. And the biggest advantage to them is much less risk to the patient compared to a trabeculectomy or a tube shunt. In particular, I've been focusing on a procedure called the eye stent, which has to be performed at the same time as cataract surgery right now in the United States. It adds about 5 minutes on to a typical cataract surgery, and frequently helps lower eye pressure, or at least dependence upon drops. And again, like I say, very low risk to the patient for hurting them or causing a problem. It's less risk than the cataract surgery itself. And it's a great option. I've been told I'm one of the some of the greatest number of eye stents in the state of Tennessee. I was one of the early adopters when it came out a couple of years ago, and I think last estimate I've put in about 300 of them, as combined with cataract surgeries, over the past couple of years.
Are there side effects to the stents?
The stents can cause some bleeding at the time of implantation, so folks may take a little extra time to recover from a cataract surgery, but usually that effect is transient. Problems with the stents are almost unheard of. If, heaven forbid, one of them gets out of place inside the eye, it's usually not a situation where we have to go back in and remove the stent on a second surgery. That's rather atypical. The biggest risk with the stent is sometimes it just doesn't work and doesn't lower our eye pressure. But there's not a lot of downside to trying.
Approximately, what is the recovery time for the cataract and stent surgery?
It's the same as a regular cataract surgery. I typically tell folks no heavy lifting, bending, or straining for a week after the surgery. And just like with a regular cataract surgery, sometimes it can take the vision to bounce back afterwards. Although some folks are seeing real good right out of the gate, first day out. Really, the profile is not much different than a routine cataract surgery, which is to say a lot less involved than one of the classic glaucoma surgeries like a tube shunt or a trabeculectomy. Those can take weeks for the vision to bounce back. And sometimes with those surgeries, we don't get all the vision back, which is certainly a drawback with those procedures.
What is the success rate of the glaucoma stent?
It's good for lowering the pressure a few points, about 70 to 80% of the time last time I saw. And there is some pressure reduction with cataract surgery alone, and the eye stent augments that. So 4 to 6 points, but like I said, probably the results are variable. We get more effect with folks that have higher starting pressures, and less effect with pressures that have, or with folks that have lower pressures. For example, typical eye pressures range for somebody without glaucoma range from 8 to 21, average being around 15. Someone with glaucoma could go into surgery with pressures around 25, and eye stent would work really well for that, or I would expect it to bring down the pressure several points and hopefully get them below 20. Whereas I have somebody who comes in with a pressure of 15 or 16, expect a more modest pressure reduction of 2 or 3 points. So the effect is variable, and that's a significant factor.
Right. With glaucoma, do you traditionally see other diseases with the patients that who have glaucoma?
Certainly can. Diabetes is very common in this area, and there are some unfortunate folks that have both macular degeneration and glaucoma. These are two very serious vision-threatening diseases, and in that combination can be very difficult to treat and preserve vision. There are actually many forms of glaucoma. The most common form is what's called primary open-angle glaucoma, which is basically an inherited disease. Somebody is just kind of born to have it. There are forms of glaucoma that are related to diabetes getting out of hand inside the eye. There's glaucoma related to injuries. So there could be complications with those issues as well.
For those who are blind or have low vision, do you recommend any type of eye health care?
For folks with limited vision, routine follow-ups are still recommended for unusual issues. I mean, even for somebody who doesn't have any vision, it's still possible to get a tumor inside the eye, and we don't know unless we take a look. It's skin cancer, well, we can see someone can see on the outside pretty easily, but without dilated exam every year or so, a tumor would be missed. There are some folks that have lost vision from something, say, like a neovascular glaucoma. that if that's not controlled, the eye can become painful even after it's lost all the vision. And so, of course, treating a patient for comfort care is important there as well. So,
is there anything else that you would like to add?
Like say, glaucoma usually shows up in individuals 50s or 60s, but it can show up earlier in life. Primary open-angle glaucoma tends to run in families, but doesn't always. I recommend regular routine eye screenings eye examinations for the current recommendations by the American Academy of Ophthalmology or annual eye exams for individuals 60 and over, with less frequent exams for younger folks. But even getting checked out at least a couple of times in your 30s and more frequently as we age is certainly in folks' interest. So if there are any problems, we catch them early. It's certainly a lot easier to deal with.
And I would like to thank you once again for being with me today. This is Joy Googe working with the Tennessee Voice for the National Federation of the Blind, interviewing Dr. James Battle with the Johnson City Eye Clinic. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
I hope that took.